have a seat, and I'm going to come and sit. And so would you put it up on the screen? Today is, we're calling this Depression Masterclass. We stole Masterclass right from Oprah. I'll call her later and apologize to her and ask her for a donation to the church. But for years, preachers have talked about depression and just say, look, y'all ain't got no business being depressed. Read the word, pray over it. But we're starting to have a different approach that maybe we should tackle it. And we have someone who's in the profession. And actually, it was her idea to talk about this. And I said, yes, this is something that I really want to talk about and discuss. And so we're going to do this. So let's bow our heads and pray. I'm going to start prayer, and then you finish with the prayer, and then we'll go into it, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this opportunity to speak to these, your sheep, God. We thank you, God, that we can give these people tools, not just for them, but for people subsequent, so they can help the world and so that we can make a difference and an impact. God, thank you that you're teaching us not to just do things in the four walls of this church, but to do things that will impact generation after generation outside of the church, and we thank you for it.
Father, we just thank you. We ask that you open up every ear that's here today. Yes, to receive. It's for us to be spiritually healthy and naturally healthy as well.
Yes.
And we just ask you to help us on what we have to say here so that it will and it shall be a blessing to everyone that hears. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. It is our goal as me, my father, my wife, and my mother, it's our goal for our membership that we would be healthy spiritually, emotionally, and financially. So we're going to be doing some financial things because a lot of times we only focus on spiritual. Go to heaven, but you're sick. Go to heaven, but you're broke. So we want to be practical, that covers your whole life. So right now we're talking about emotional health. So the first thing I want to do, I want to ask you a question. I like this one. I like this one. It sounds good. What do y'all think? This is my favorite one. Everybody says
it's mine
good.
Okay?
Okay. But I appreciate that. I appreciate your help, though. All right, so the first question I want to ask you, what is depression? Just a simple question. Even though I'm looking at you, you can look at them too as well.
Well, first I'm going to read the definition of depression, and then I'm going to talk some about it. Depression is a common and a serious medical illness that negatively affects how you feel, the way you think, and how you act. So, you know, if you're having some days that you're not feeling good, especially if it's five or less days that you're not really not feeling good. Your thoughts are changing. They're out of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And you're acting out. Your behavior has changed. I would say pray.
Okay.
And I would also say talk with your family. Talk with your families about these things and go see your doctor. Set your doctor's appointment. Go to your doctor. Be honest with your doctor about what is going on with you.
Okay, so oftentimes there's like a stigma. So if a person is feeling down, especially in the African American community, it happens a lot. But we're taught that you're strong. You're a strong black woman or you're a strong black man. And it covers other cultures. So should there be a shame to go and ask someone to check you out? Is there anything wrong with asking that question?
For some people, it is a shame. They feel like you said, I'm a strong person. My daddy was a strong person.
Mm-hmm.
My granddaddy was a strong person. We're all strong people, but yet you feel sad and you haven't had a loss. You are acting out and no one has offended you. So these are just warning signs, and I would say even if you are ashamed, talk with your family about it. Talk with someone that you trust and that has always given you good advice and that you're comfortable with. And hopefully that person would say, you know what, that's been in my family.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the doctor. The doctor helped us. And we're better now. And I'd like to mention, to say one thing too. Everyone in here should have a doctor. Everyone. It's so important that you have a family physician. If you don't have one, the Open Door Clinic on South Madison Street will help you. Get you in, get your routine checkups done. So if there is anything else that further needs to be done, you'll be right there so you can get it done. But please, everyone in here, please, it's very important that you have a family physician.
Yeah, I agree. And the open doors for people who don't have insurance so that there's a way. All right, so give us a few depression statistics. And I think they'll have some of that information on the screen too.
Depression affects an estimated 1 in 15 adults. 6.7% in any given year. And 1 in 6 people. 16.6% will experience depression at some time in their life. Depression can strike at any time, but on average, first appears during the late teens and mid-20s, and women are more likely than men to experience depression. Some studies show that 1/3 of women will experience a major depressive episode in their lifetime.
We always knew y'all was crazy. We always knew. I'm just joking. Just joking. So that's interesting. That brings me something I had asked you previously. There's something that I've heard about, and I don't quite understand being a man, but a lot of women after pregnancy or during pregnancy, after pregnancy, they call it postpartum depression. And during, so could you speak to that or what changes in a woman or what they should be looking for if that happens?
Sometimes... And it's different for each and every woman. Sometimes postpartum depression is it's the first time, new mother. Mm-hmm. It's been wonderful up until, you know, she had the baby. Then all the attention goes to the baby. And then, so therefore, it's like a shift in feelings, in thoughts, and in reaction and communication. And so sometimes that brings about a sadness. And then sometimes it's a mother who may have had many babies, had the baby, but really didn't want to have the baby. But yet instead, for her, it's thoughts of, I couldn't afford this baby. Uh-huh. You know, I don't have the father. It's not present with this baby. I'm already struggling. You know, I'm already living low. Mm-hmm. So different situations for different women. But I strongly would say whatever your situation is, talk with your physician.
Okay.
So you can get the help that you need.
All right,
early detection.
That's good. All right. Then, and that reminds me. Let me say this to us, church. We know we preach that our ideal for young women is that they don't have babies out of wedlock. That's what we're shooting for. But when a person doesn't hit that ideal mark, we have to be a safe place for them to fall.
Yes.
So I think a lot of women have come to the church and felt so much shame because of their pregnancy that helps add to the depression. So we have to find a way. And we try to do well here, but I think we can do even better to make women feel like you're not the scourge of the earth because you had a baby out of wedlock and be there to wrap their arms around them. Very good. All right, so give me, we're talking about women, but who can be affected by depression? In other words, is there classes only poor people in your profession who can be affected by depression?
Everyone. Whether you are a judge, a senator, the president of the United States, lawyers, doctors, musicians, everyone can be affected by depression.
Amen.
Everyone.
Amen.
It doesn't exclude any human being.
That's very good. We'll get to a little more of that later. And I'll say this to us again, church. That's why it's important to pray for one another.
Yes.
And not just when people ask for prayer, but to be able to discern and look at a person. Something's different about them, and just call them in. You won't know everything, but if we pray for one another, there's sometimes we can help people without even knowing it. You are way more important than you realize. When you come here, you just sit in the pew. That's not just what you do. When you leave here, you can offer prayers to God that can make difference for all kinds of things. Because at the end of the day, we're all human. Very good.
All right. I would just like to say something too, Pastor. You know, when I was going over this, you know, depression really isn't talked about enough. It's really kind of like a taboo.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Your health should be more important than any taboo.
Amen.
Anything that has been in the past that has been said by your family members, today is a new day.
Amen.
And you should want for yourself and for your family a healthy life. And whatever it takes to get that healthy life,
amen,
you should be in high pursuit,
amen,
to get it.
I agree.
I think sometimes, you know, people have come to the hospital and they have said, you know, I normally don't go to the doctor. Well, why not? My grandfather never went to the doctor, and neither did my mother, and neither did my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at them and I say, your health should be important to you.
Yes.
And that's why you are here today, because you did not take your health seriously or serious enough. So I just want to encourage from over the years that I've worked in the hospital and how I've seen so many people come in, and if they just would have gotten early detection, if they had just followed up with their doctor's visits and did what their doctor recommended for them to do, they would have been had a better diagnosis,
mm-hmm,
a much better diagnosis. So I just strongly encourage every one of you here today, please make sure that you have a family doctor. And not only that, when you go to your doctor, tell the truth,
yes,
about what's going on with you.
Yes.
Whatever it is that's going on with you, tell the truth so your doctor can help you with whatever is going on with you.
I don't want to stay on this too long, but let's be practical just for a moment. I know we're all saved and good, but when you get to the doctor and they ask you, when's the last time you smoked marijuana? Don't lie. Tell them the truth, because maybe they know, can figure out there's some brain cells that you burnt up that you might need.
Yes.
Yeah. But we're not here to judge anybody. But church folk act like we're different from the rest of the world, but we do the same stuff, and then we end up hurting in the long run because we're not honest. And the other thing that I'll say, I wonder if we would stand in line for our health the way we stand in line for Air Jordan tennis shoes. I don't got time to get on that. But anyway, so.
I would never be able to come to church because I would be taking care of so many people.
That's true. And we don't want that. We do believe in. I'm getting off topic, but I'm going to throw this in there too. That's why you should be excited about your man or your woman of God or people in ministry, because Sister Teresa knows, as clergy, we're allowed to go into places, and she sometimes works in the psych ward, and I've been called to go in, and I have clearance to go in, and when the doctors couldn't figure it out, I've been able to go in and pray with people and see them turn around. And so a lot of times people say the church don't do nothing, but y'all don't know what we're doing. We're doing
right.
stuff all
That's
the time
right.
making
right.
a difference.
That's right.
And I would say 8 times out of 10 the calls we get are from people that don't even go to this church. But because we love the whole community, we go and we do. And so it's good. But I tell you one particular example. I went in a situation that was kind of difficult. And the first person I met when I got in the psych ward was Teresa. And she hugged me and let me know. And she was like, I'm glad you're here.
Yes.
And we were able to make a real impact in a young lady's life.
Yes. Yes.
All right. I want to go back. You talked about benefits of early detected depression. And you said it really quick. But just throw out some of the benefits of go back Yeah, benefits of early detect depression. What are benefits of detecting it early?
One of the great benefits of having whatever detected early is that it can either be resolved, healed, and just being where you should be as far as your health, going to your doctor's appointments. Because, you know, early detection of cancer, you can get chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. You know, early detection of depression, you can either, they can either give you a follow-up program or a program to do, or whether it's medications, but it can be dealt with early detection.
Yeah, that's good. And on the spiritual side, when you detect it early, you can tell us a lot earlier, and we can begin to start the prayer process. We have seen a lot of healings in this place, but sometimes people don't get healed because they don't know what's going on with them. And so that's good. All right, before we close with your side and you start flipping, asking me questions, I want you to tell us worst case scenario. What happens when there's untreated depression? So it's just, you know, so someone didn't get this master class. What does that look like?
Doesn't look good.
Okay.
If you have had depression and your depression has went for years and years, one of the things that it will turn into is bipolar. Mm-hmm. Bipolar 1 or bipolar 2, which is a mood and a personality disorder where you are offended easily, you cry easily, or you're ready to fight easily. Somebody say something to you, you fight mad. And if it continues to go on, it's called psychosis. It'll turn into psychosis. Psychosis is where two things happen. Hallucinations and delusions become friends with you. You begin to think things that is not there, or think things that's not true, and you begin to see things that's not there. And if it continues to go on without treatment, it turns into schizophrenia, which is all of the above. So again, family doctor, do your follow-up, your visits, and all that. Stay in good health.
All right, very, very good. Let's give her a hand. So we definitely want to stay away from worst case scenario, and I'm afraid that there's a lot of people walking out there today that are at worst case scenario. But thank God for a place like Deliverance Temple where people can be turned around. Amen.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to switch, and I'm going to let you ask me questions, and I'm going to try to cover it from the spiritual side. You're covering the natural side. I'm going to cover the spiritual side. Yeah, you can read it from up there. Okay. Well, you can have both.
Okay. Pastor, have you ever been depressed?
I would say no. I would have said no years ago, but now I realize that I have been depressed. And for me, spiritually, depression started off as discouragement. And then discouragement moved into depression. And I didn't know it was depression. I haven't been depressed for long periods of time. But one of the reasons why I believe that my discouragement turned into depression, because I used to be hard on people, especially Christians who were depressed. I would be nice and I would pray for them. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, get over it. But it's easy to tell somebody to get over it when you haven't been there.
Right.
And also, for us Christians, a lot of times, depression for us comes on the heels of grief. When you lose a loved one,
yes,
and then grief has gone, but depression stays with you.
Yeah.
And so fighting and battling like that, and I'm normally a joyous person. I try to laugh at least once a day. And for me, normally, it's 10, 15 times a day. I try to stay silly and laugh so that I can stave off depression. But to answer that question, yes, I had been depressed, but I didn't know it at the time because I really thought I'm a guy. I don't have emotion, mood swings. My wife will tell you, I got mood swings.
Uh-huh.
I got mood swings. But I have been
so
depressed.
So how did you know that you were depressed?
Well, it was retroactive. Once I began to study depression, I was like, wait a second, that was me. I was there. And so I praised God and thanked God that it didn't stay long enough. One thing I'm very intuitive about who I am in my spirit. So when things are off, I will try to connect to God. And a lot of my things have been fixed connecting to God over time. But what it done is made me more compassionate for other people.
That's awesome. Where in the Bible characters ever been, I'm sorry, were any Bible characters ever depressed?
Yes, it was. Actually, there's several, and they're going to put it up on the screen. I could have picked a lot, but there's several of them. When you actually know what depression is, and then you begin to study the scriptures, several of the Bible characters were depressed. So that's why we can't in the church act like, oh, you're a bad person if you're depressed. Life is life, and life comes at us fast.
Yes, it does.
And life throws us curveballs, and then we all have an enemy called the devil, which throws things. So a few examples. David was depressed. David, if you read the Psalms, a lot of his Psalms, he was depressed because of what he was going through. One specific example is when he was at Ziklag and everything was taken from them. And then his men with him, they thought of stoning him. David was depressed. But then the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. So even though he was depressed, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Elijah was depressed when Jezebel said she was going to kill him. And he was on the run. And he was sitting under a juniper tree. And he was saying, I wish, you know, my life was gone. And he was saying to God, I'm the only one who have kept your laws. And God let him know, listen, you're not the only one. And so Elijah was he had just had a great, awesome miracle. And the next day he was depressed. And so we all can face that. Job was depressed, and we can understand why Job was depressed. I mean, Job lost everything. And the interesting thing about Job, we see that it was the devil that actually brought the attack on Job. So satanic attack in your life can lead you to depression. Job, when you begin to read Job, he talked about, I cursed the day I was born. So he was depressed. And I pointed these out. Actually, there's seven names I have up there. I'm going to try to talk about all of them. But the statistics said women are more depressed, but in the Bible, we see that a lot of men were depressed, and I think it's good for us to know that men get depressed, and the reason why they probably have more statistics about women is more women get checked. A lot of men, especially, we're bad about going to doctors, and we don't want nobody bothering us. I'll be okay, but men, we've got to do better.
Yes.
Because we don't want to, we want to be leaders. And so we've got to do better. So Rachel was depressed. She was depressed when, first of all, she couldn't have kids. And a lot of depression comes from some life circumstances. She couldn't have kids. But when she finally had a son named Benjamin, her last son, she actually had Joseph and Benjamin. She named him Benoni, which meant son of my sorrow. She actually died having birth. But the father, Jacob, he changed the name to Benjamin and said, you're son of my right hand, because he didn't want his seed to be tied to sorrow. And I bring that up is because a lot of people, they put depression on their kids by the way they raise them. They raise them in sorrow. And so sometimes you have to just buck the system. Naomi was depressed, and because she lost her husband and her two sons. And she told her daughter-in-law, Ruth, she said, Ruth, get away from me. I'm bad luck. I'm bitter. And then Ruth said, no, it's something about your God. And so Ruth saw beyond Naomi's depression and saw the God in Naomi. And it was Ruth that helped pull Naomi out. Then there's Jeremiah. We'll talk about him later. He was depressed. And I believe when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, I believe we see him in a momentary depression as he was struggling to go to the cross and crying and sweating so much until his sweat turned into blood. And dealing and getting ready to take on the sin of the world, I believe we see him in depression. So I think it's enough proof in the scriptures for us not to feel ashamed. But all of these people that I'm talking about, they didn't stay depressed. They eventually got some help.
Nice.
Thank
nice,
you.
Nice,
Thank
nice,
you.
Nice.
We preaching better than they letting on. You know that?
Is there a Bible passage where a depressed person pulled through?
This is good. I talked about Jeremiah. So this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And I'm going to jump around a little just to make it clear. We're not here forever. But Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentation. The word lamentation means weeping. And the background of Jeremiah, and this is important because you can do things for God and end up depressed. So Jeremiah was doing something for God. He was telling the people what God was showing him, but the people weren't listening. He was talking over and over and over, and they weren't listening. And he was trying to keep them from going into trouble, and they kept doing the opposite of what he was talking, and it ended up depressing him. And I'd like to say this. I'll speak for my father as well as for myself. What makes a great member, church member, for a pastor is people who would take what you say and take the advice and do it. Right. It's nice when you give us money. It's nice when you hug us. But what we really want the most is we want people that will grow, that won't take the word and waste it, that will take the word, apply it to their life, and grow. In Jeremiah's life, the people took the word and they did not apply it to their life. And everything he warned them about, they end up getting in it, and it just depressed him. So we're going to go to Lamentations chapter 3, and I'll read it. Chapter 3, verse 1, and it calls the prophet's anguish, or we can call it the prophet's depression, the prophet's anguish and hope. So he was able to come out of it. He said, "I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath." And this is what's very important. When you're depressed and then you end up blaming God because it was God that sent you down that path. Sometimes God will tell you to go down the path and the path will get darker. And so Jeremiah wasn't blaming anybody else for his depression. He was saying, "God, you're the one who put me in this." And so I do need to point this out. When you answer the call of God, when you say yes to God, it doesn't mean that's easy street.
Right.
Sometimes yes to God means challenges.
Yes.
Sometimes it means pain.
Yes.
Sometimes it means fear.
Struggle.
But the God that called you,
yes,
will always bring you out.
Yes.
All right, so let's go to the next one. "He has led me and made me walk in darkness, not in light." Now, Jeremiah is talking about God and saying, "God, you led me straight into darkness and not into light." Let's go to the next one. We drop down to verse 6, and he says something similar. He says, "He has set me in dark places like the dead long ago." And so he's saying, "God, I've been good to you, God. I've been tithing. I've been coming to church. But yet I keep ending up in dead, dark situations." And whenever God is doing that, he's not doing that to hurt you, because he's trying to get you to understand what other people feel like. And so you can never really lead people unless God teaches you and shows you how to have compassion for others. And sometimes him taking you through things is what he does. Verse 7, he says, "He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy." In other words, I feel boxed in. I feel hopeless. I feel lost. For those of us who have lost loved ones, and we're talking about that grief, sometimes the chain gets heavy because you're asking, like, "God, why? Why did my loved one have to die? Or why did my friend have to have cancer?" And when you're going through and trying to talk to God through all those things, sometimes you end up battling depression. Because while you're talking to God, Satan's trying to put depression on you. But what I love about the scripture is, even though he was depressed, he was talking to God. He wasn't talking to people who couldn't help him. He was talking to God. So I encourage you, no matter what you go through, even if you are going to go see a doctor, always, always talk to God.
Yes.
Bare your soul to,
yes,
God, because he already knows.
He already knows.
All right. Yes. Verse 19. And this is where the scripture changes. I drop all the way to verse 19. And he says this: "Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall." The next verse says this: "My soul still remembers and sinks within me." I have this sunken place, this deep place. But the point that I want you to go back to 20. And what I think the problem is, he says, "My soul still remembers it." And so the big issue with things like depression and grief and sorrow is we have a tendency to remember it over and over and over again. And so we rehearse it. We rehearse the loved one we lost. We rehearse the breakup. We rehearse losing the job. And then we end up spending the most of our waking hours rehearsing the past instead of looking toward the future. And so what happened to Jeremiah, his soul kept remembering, and the more he remembered, the more he sunk into that sunken place. But verse 21, I call this total recall. He says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." And for every Christian, you've got to understand that there's something else that you can call to your mind. There's something else that you can pull up. You can think about the wrong thing, and then you can turn around and say, "No, I've got something else I can think about. I lost a job, but I still have ate. I still have clothes on my back. I got a roof over my head. I lost this man, but there's more fish in the sea. I lost a loved one, but I'm still breathing." You've got to find something to recall to your mind. You can't just focus on the negative. You can't just focus on the problem. You can't just focus on the darkness. You got to look for the light at the end of the tunnel. If you got to crawl, if you got to scratch, if you got to scream, if you got to flip, whatever you got to do, you got to tell the devil, "I will not die like this. I'm not going out like this. I'm not going crazy. God, you didn't call me for me to lose my mind. This I recall." Just in case you didn't think I was preaching, "This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope." And what did he recall? "It is of the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed. They are new every morning." Go to the next one. "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So what Jeremiah did, the preacher in him came out. He said, "I got to put something else in my mind." And when you get something else in your mind, you get something else in your mouth.
That's right.
And when I get something in my mind and something in my mouth, then I can begin to declare it. He said, "One thing about it, even though I'm going through hell and high water, his mercies are new every morning. His compassions, they don't fail. And his faithfulness is great." And what Jeremiah was saying, at the end of the day, I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know how close it is, but God gonna bring me out. And somebody here ought to tell you the same thing. I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how, but God gonna bring me out. God gonna turn it around. God gonna fix this thing. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I don't believe the fat lady's singing yet. I believe I'm going to live again. I believe I'll have joy again. I believe I'll have peace again. But you got to tell yourself. Yeah. Amen. You got to talk to yourself.
Yeah.
They tell you you're crazy if you talk to yourself. I say you're crazy if you don't.
That's right.
You got to talk to yourself and help yourself. And when you do that, especially if you've been coming to the house of God and you've been getting in the Word of God, you've got something else in there, and you got to turn how and you got to call it up. Give you one quick example. One of our church vans, it had two fuel tanks, and so when you would run, if you didn't know, you would think you ran out of gas, but all you had to do was flip a switch and it would flip on the other tank. And when your natural life and your emotional life has run all the way empty, you think it's over. No, just flip a switch and move over to that spirit. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit hears from God. Flip the switch and get that other fuel tank in, and it'll carry you to where you need to go. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know I can't act right when I got a microphone.
It's good, and I love it. And you know what? It's needed.
Amen.
It is so needed. And my prayer is, let the church hear what the Spirit has to say.
Amen.
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 So we're hearing good today, aren't we?
Yeah. Amen.
All right.
Hallelujah.
What's a good Bible verse to know to fight depression?
I'm going to give us two Bible verses because two came to mind. The first one, we'll put it up. And this is Isaiah 61:3, the A clause of the version. This particular passage in Isaiah, when Jesus first showed up on the scene and he was to read in the synagogue, this is the first chapter that he read. He read Isaiah 61. Verse 3 says this: "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion." Zion always represents the church. So you will sometimes mourn in church. You will have bad times in church. And we've taught you that over and over and over to prepare you that sometimes you will have bad times in church. "To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." I want us to do a quick example to show this. I'm going to take my suit off. So right now I have, let's say this shirt is indicative of my depression. And so the Bible says put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so it's, I need to talk to the mic so it can be heard. So the Bible tells us to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So help me put on this garment. All right, now fix me up. Make sure I'm right.
You're good to go.
Good to go. And the reason why I did that for a reason. Because sometimes you can't put on the garment of praise by yourself.
Right.
You need somebody else in the house of God to help you and put on that garment of praise. But it says that garment of praise, what it'll do, it will cover the spirit of heaviness, and what it'll do, it'll suffocate the spirit of heaviness, and then you have praise. And so when you come and you praise God, and that's another reason for testimonies, is so that when I tell you what God has done in my life, you don't get jealous. It makes you praise God, and that praise, what it does, it makes the heaviness go away. So we're helpers one to another, and we should be helping each other put on that garment of praise and help each other get dressed in praise for the garment of heaviness, for the spirit of heaviness. All right, and this is the final verse that I have, Philippians 4:8, because a lot of our issues in depression come from our thinking, our thinking patterns. And so before I read that, let me say this. There's a lady named Caroline Leaf, and she is a neurosurgeon, but she's a Christian neurosurgeon. And for years, they thought, she didn't believe it because she read the Bible. The Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, that our minds can be made new again. And science said that that was wrong, that once your mind has been damaged, it's damaged for good. So brain traumatic injury, they say once it happens, you can't heal from that. It's that you're stuck with it. But new neuroscience have found out that your mind can change. And so what they did an example, and they took two people, and they made them both for, I can't remember how many days, think and read only negative things. And they looked in their brains, they monitored their brains, and they would see all these little black images in their brain. The more negative stuff that they repeated, the more black images would show up on the neurosurgeon's screen. Then they flipped it and had them only do positive. But what happened was the black images, they stayed burned in the brain. And one by one, as they changed and they began to focus on positive things, they would see the back images would change, and they would see what the neurosurgeon science person calls like tree limbs, which is like life. Even in the brain, the brain would shift and change. And so what they're finding out is that whatever has affected your brain traumatically, it can be reversed if you put the right stuff in you. The Bible told us that a long time ago, that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So that's why we keep the word of God in us, because what it does, it can actually fix the brain. Now, what they know is no medicine can do it. It's only from the person doing the thoughts themselves. So they were right. Medicine can't do it, but you can think yourself happy if you begin to change the way you think. So the Bible says this, and this scripture says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those are the things to think on. For us who are in social media, that means there's a lot of folk, you got to scroll past and don't even read what they post, because they ain't not talking about anything that's going to benefit you. Think of the things that are true, the things that are honest, things that are just, and things that are pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise. Those are things to think on, and you can help begin to clear up. Plus, going to a doctor, you can help begin to clear up depression and many other health illnesses. Many other illnesses can be fixed by doing these things. They trace a lot of illnesses just to unforgiveness. Amen. Just unforgiveness in your life has created cancers and all those things. So we can change the way we think, and we can set a good course for our life. And hopefully we can battle depression, defeat depression, and win with the garment of praise and with our thought pattern.
You know, just enjoyed what you said, but communication.
Mm-hmm.
When we communicate with God and when we communicate with people, it's a healthy thing. It's just a healthy thing.
Yes.
Because when you communicate with God, you're telling him everything that's going on, everything that's wrong. Mm-hmm. All you're just pouring out your heart. And then when you communicate with people, such as your family, your loved ones, you are telling them, you know, your good days and your bad
days. Yes.
So it's just healthy. It's a win-win. You know, it's just healthy all the way around. So I strongly encourage us to talk to one another, to share with one another, and most of all, be honest with one another.
Yes.
You know, if you feel a certain way, say you feel that way.
Yes.
If you don't feel that way, say, well, you know what? You know, today, last week I did, but today I just don't feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to love one another, we got to show love, and we got to be love, and we got to love one another really good.
Yes.
You know, because down here, we are all we got.
Yes.
So we have got to love one another unconditionally, completely, and communicate and connect with each other really well.
That's good. And I think the more we do that, the more people will feel safe with releasing their baggage with people in the church. A lot of problems was they release their baggage with people in the church and then it's all over the city.
Yes.
But if you find a safe place, I think a lot of people will feel much better about being open and honest in the house of God. We are finished. And what we'll do, we're going to open it up for just maybe a few questions. If anybody has questions, we'll do a microphone. Would you take that orange mic and get it to Sister Sharitha? Make sure it's on, and we'll answer the question, and then we'll go home.
Now I've heard it at times that, and I've read it too, that it can also be what you eat, your diet, that can cause chemical imbalance, which also can cause depression. So how you think that is that it's just something I read. It wasn't like it was a doctor or anything, but
that's true, because what you put into your mouth goes down and it has to dissolve somewhere. And if it's not a healthy thing, if it's not good food, I mean, it can turn into high blood pressure. Because you have high blood pressure, you're depressed. So, yes, it 100% can be what you are eating.
One thing can lead to another.
Yeah, one thing can lead to another.
Let me add, this is something I learned late in life. I know some of us, we love our soul food and different things. We may have some bad habits.
Take it easy.
But,
easy,
I'm going to take it easy. I do good because I want to stay in these tight suits, so I try to do good. But I have learned just upping your water regimen.
Yes.
Can really flush a lot out of your system. So even if you do have a few bad habits, if you drink water on a consistent basis, that can help you.
And also, a 30-minute brisk walk every day burns up a lot. It burns up a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that we were yesterday, myself and Sister Belinda and Kathy went to this meeting. And so many things you guys were talking about. There was one lady, and these are all ex-prisoners that came out. And you looked at the people, you would have never thought they had been anywhere in prison. And one particular lady talked about the depression that she went through. And see, a lot of times in our society, so many things are misdiagnosed. And she ended up, you know, having some issues with her husband, going through some things, and literally got put in the system, and when she got put in the system, it caused her, praise God, not to be able to deal with the issues she had, and because of that, she wasn't getting medication, wasn't getting stuff that she needed, and it threw her off into, you know, these psychotic episodes. And a lot of times, a lot of that can be prevented, like you're saying, if you go to a doctor, find out what your problem is. Lose the stigma of us having an issue in our head. An issue in your head is just like an issue in your stomach. You're sick in the head, you're sick in the stomach. You have a problem in your stomach, many times you'll take Tums or something, praise God, to relieve you of that. It's the same thing if you got a problem in the head. And like I said, in our society, we have a problem really just saying that's okay for you to go to the doctor, especially in the African-American community. We act like it's bad for a person not to always think right. But again, we got to come, you know, like I said, this is a new day. We have to open up. We have to tell the truth and let people understand there's no problem and you're going to the doctor, find out what the issue is. And sometimes it's just something that you don't, your body's not producing. Mm-hmm. And there's a pill that can help you with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, it can cause your brain to get in line.
Yeah.
It's that dopamine. They say dopamine is just something that's normally produced in the body.
Yes.
But some people's body don't produce it. So if you don't have it produced in the body, you need it from the pill or whatever. And then again, I know the pill's not the answer to everything, and then they're trying to throw people into a lot of stuff with our children, AH, what do they call it?
ADHD.
It's not always that. It's not, and one of the ladies that talked, and she teaches in the prison in New York, and she was talking about people learn different ways. And our society is so antiquated. We got children that are learned just by doing. And then they're trying to tell them, sit down, stay seated. Well, that's not the way that child learns.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look at this whole picture and understand what God is trying to get us to say. I'm thankful for this class because it's a powerful thing. This church ought to be filled to the brim.
Hallelujah.
It ought to be filled to the brim. Because there's so many people dealing with these issues, and all we want to do is run around the walls and holler and scream and thank God. Nothing wrong with that. But we need to understand, why am I running? Why am I hollering? Am I hollering because I'm free? Am I hollering because I understand who I am? And that's what we have to understand. We've got to break this thing down and get people to see. It's nothing wrong that you don't have always happy thoughts. Praise God. But like you said, get with somebody. Talk to your family. Talk to somebody in the ministry. Talk to somebody in the church and understand we can pray about it. Praise God. And if prayer is not enough, baby, they got something for you that can help you. Take the pill until you can do better.
Amen.
Also, I would like to say to what Bishop was saying, once you go to your doctor and your doctor gives you a diagnosis, don't let it stop there. Do your own homework.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Pull it up on the computer or your laptop and see what it says. And see if that is what's going on with you.
That's so true.
And if it is not, you go back to the doctor and say, these things are not going on with me, but these things are.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
So, I mean, you just make it. You be honest about your health care.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know what? We as medical people, we make mistakes.
That's right.
You know, don't get it twisted. Yeah. We make mistakes.
Yeah.
But the good thing about it is we try to fix them too, you know?
Yeah.
Sister Lydia.
Yeah. She's got, hold on. I want everything in the mic. And if you have a question, stand up for us real quick.
My question is.
All right, hold on, just a sec. So we're gonna finish with these four questions. These will be our last four. You can sit back down. I just need to know who all is gonna have a question. All right, these four.
My question is: can depression be a generational curse? And if it is so, how do we break it?
I'll take that. How can I say this? Go back and listen to my sermon. Unsubscribe. It's on the website. But we talked about generational curses, and if you're really in God, generational curses do not belong to you as a Christian. You do not have to second. So yes, there are generational curses, but the devil is slick, and I talked about it before. The devil, it cannot be everywhere at the same time. So what he's got to do, he's got to get us to buy into some of his trash for him. And so the more we buy into, oh, well, my daddy had this, so I got to have it. The more you buy into that, the more you're letting the devil off the hook, because you're just letting him... you're doing his work for him. So just because somebody close to you had it don't mean you have to have it. Now, some medical things may be that way, but whatever is coming in your life that you don't like, you stand up against it first spiritually, and then you take the next proper steps. But don't ever, the devil will always lie to you and tell you you have something worse than what you have. So take care of that. Sometimes all we need is some rest. And sometimes if we would get proper sleep, we wouldn't
proper
be so
sleep.
So crazy acting. So,
and, you know, we should be getting at least, all of us are adults in here, we should be getting at least 8 hours, if not 9, of sleep at night. You will wake up feeling refreshed. You'll just be able to think clear. You'll respond clear. You'll just have a better day because your body has had a chance to rest and refuel. Amen.
And to help that, sometimes shut off the phone.
Yeah.
The problems can wait late. If you got a bill, it can wait till the next day. You already ain't paid it. Yes. Shut the phone off.
Shut the phone off.
Get some rest.
Yes.
Deal with it tomorrow.
I have this right here is very dear to my heart because I have a mental issue in my family. And it's very, very important that if you are to prescribe some medication, you have to take it.
That's so true.
You have to take that. Now, sometimes the medication doesn't work. Sometimes they'll put you on a different kind. If that kind doesn't work, they'll keep on putting you on different kinds until that kind works. But it's almost like they're treating you like a guinea pig until they find the right medication. Now, if that person has some psychotic issues, then it is important for them to find that right medication for them to don't escalate. Yes. It's something that's worse for that person. But I feel that prayer does work. And prayer is so important in everybody's lives. And if you do need medication, take it every single day because it's very important.
I thank God for the personal example with her family history. And I've learned that as a pastor, there's people that I pray for and counsel for months, sometimes years, and then I find out later they haven't been taking their medicine. And I'm like, before I talk to you anymore and pray for you anymore, you get back on your medicine, and then we'll come back and talk. And sometimes it balances them out to the point where they are they're where they need to be. I believe we've got one of our young teenagers.
I'm going to say something before she takes a question. Just like with your medical doctor, if he has given you a diagnosis and search it out for yourself, and you see if those things that is listed up underneath that diagnosis applies to you. If they do not apply to you, then you need to go back and see your physician. And same thing with a patient that is bipolar, psychosis, has hallucinations, has delusions, is schizophrenic. If that medication is not working for that patient, that patient needs a follow-up appointment made with their psychiatrist, and you write down a list of what the behaviors are, the thoughts are, everything, so you guys can have a communication going on, so then, therefore, hopefully, that person can get the medication that will work for him.
And but before we get this other question, anybody who's, any young person is going to school or thinking about going back to school, Christian psychologists are something that are needed. And so it's good to have clinical Christians. So that's an area you can go into and you can find a place and you can get paid to do that. And I will refer people. I know some folk. All right.
Okay, I'm going to ask this question the best way I can. But let's say you know someone who is diagnosed with bipolar and, you know, they're taking meds, but the thing is, when they take the meds, it's supposed to regulate their moods. You know, it's a mood stabilizer and everything. But the thing is, if they don't take it the same time every day and get the routine in their body, then it doesn't work exactly how it's supposed to. So pretty much, it's not working. But my question is, how would you get someone who needs, and you know, they need help? Like, how would you get someone, you know, who needs help, but they're in denial about it?
I would say, and you can answer this too, I know that you're young, so sometimes young people have people older than them who feel like, I ain't got to listen to her because she's young. So you got to bring in reinforcements. You got to talk to other people, and some family members or friends, they need what they call intervention. Yes. They need several people to sit around a table and everybody say the same thing to them. But we always have to remember this. You cannot force anybody to get the help that they need. You can just offer. You can offer, do as much as you can until you can. So you do what you can. But for you as a young person, get as many reinforcements as you can. If it's a person older than you, if it's a person younger than you, do the same thing. Get as many reinforcements as you can and try to talk to them. But we have to learn how to talk to people lovingly. If people feel judged, if they feel, if you go off on folk, and then we have to approach it with wisdom. And a lot of times people will get the help that they need if we can let them know that there's nothing wrong with you. You're okay, but you need this to be a better version of yourself. Or I need you to do this for me. And those type of conversations will help.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, our last question.
This isn't a question, but it is a comment. And I just wanted to... let families know. Lots of times, if you've ever had a blow to your head, and say your child got hit with a ball, he may have done fine, but later on down the road, due to that blow to the head, he may start experiencing headaches, a chemical imbalance, depression. A lot of things can come up from something that has happened, like in your childhood. Any type of blow, you know, to your head. And so it's very important. I just felt impressed to tell parents, don't hit your children in the head, you know. And years ago, I was guilty of that because I'd pick up something and just throw it, you know, if they was cutting up. But do not hit your children in the head, because it will cause things later in life and chemical. And see, sometimes stuff will show up when you're in your 50s. From something that has happened when you were in your 20s.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that's why prayer is so important, because there's so many things that can be fixed. But let me throw this out there for parents getting their kids in sports, especially football. They have what they call concussion protocol. And if the coach is more concerned about numbers than your individual child, find another coach. A lot of your kids are not going to make it to the NFL and change your life. So you got to protect the child, protect their brain. So those things are important. Yes.
Actually, my question was answered, because some people do have concerns about the side effects of the medicine, and sometimes they do have a problem taking it because of the effects, but that was actually answered. And so I think in that case, you just encourage the people to continue, as you say, to seek, go to your physician if, and but it's so many things run across my mind, but I'm going to say this. I am so grateful for this, because so many people is experiencing it more, even in our church family, more than want to discuss it. And that doesn't mean that we're not saved, or that you're not saved, or any of that. Now, if you tell the wrong person and they real spiritual, they can make you feel like you're missing out on something. But that's not true. But reason I say that to say this is because if you read every decade, starting from the 50s, go to the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and now we're in the millennium world, a millennium age, every decade there is affected by a different spirit. Just go back, you know, one time it was LSAD and all this, and now it's and heroin, but now it's that meth. Every decade, it's almost like there's a different, in every age, there's something the church had to defeat and battle, stand against, but we can't do it if we don't have the right information and knowledge.
Right.
We can, but we have to, in the millennium age, it's a lot of depression and suicide. We have to know that this is part of the time. So we're going to have to want to know, not, you know, Bishop Mason and Bishop, all that's good, but we got to take what we learn and know about them and add to what we need to know to really, really help people, to really help people. In the church, we got to be equipped too, with the knowledge, understanding, and everything to really help in now.
Yes.
Not tomorrow. I'm talking about what's going on now to help the people. Amen.
Oh.
I just want to agree with what she says about knowledge. The better you understand anything, the better you'll do.
That's right.
Because you are clear on what you should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You have information about it. You understand it. So therefore, you will do good. And knowledge is power because, you know, I could say, you know, just anything. But if you know the truth,
mm-hmm.
and you have the understanding of that, you won't accept it. You'll say, well, you know what? This is what I read. And this is what I've understood. And it'll bring about a conversation. But yet you'll be able to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Because knowledge is power.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right, we're going to close up with this kind of funny story, and that this will be the end. When the movie Ray came out, my brother Steven, he got so excited about Jamie Foxx playing Ray and how good the movie was that he bought all of Ray Charles' stuff. A month later, he told my uncle, I don't know why, I've just been so depressed. And my uncle said, well, what have you been doing different? He said, I've been listening to the blues. And my uncle was like, how long have you been listening to the blues? And he's like, I've been listening for a whole month. And then it dawned on him, oh, you've been listening. And sometimes your entertainment intake, what you put in your mind, in your ears, we're not one of those churches that say you can't listen to rap, you can't listen to this. But be careful what you intake into your spirit because it can, over time, change. And so if it's not, and we're going to read this again since it's up there, if it's not true, if it's not honest, if it's not just, if it's not pure, if it's not lovely, if it's not a good report, if there's no virtue, if there's no praise, limit that stuff in your life and your life will change quickly. Amen. All right, let's stand to our feet. Yes. I hope you guys enjoyed this different approach today.
Who would like another master class?
Amen. What we might do a poll and have you put in topics. And then we'll pick out, study the topics, and present it to the people.